all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Good morning, early call timers.
Good morning.
This is actually the latest I think we've ever done this podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
You're here for the latest podcast. It's like 7 o'clock at night.
That's amazing. So
I don't know if our old podcast went this late ever.
Sometimes.
Probably.
Sometimes.
But this is special.
I think we recorded after a concert once.
Are we live? Is that what's going on right now?
We're live to that computer over there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
At which the government is probably tapped into. So yes, in a way.
Well,
Obama's
maybe.
Listening right now.
Probably.
In the Oval Office.
The whole Apple fiasco.
I know, right?
Well, not a fiasco, but...
Well, not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Yeah. Case.
Right.
Yeah. I think we're kicking off, like, what we're calling Stitchers Month.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Because Stitchers premieres this month.
Yeah, when does it premiere?
March 22nd.
March 22nd, Tuesday,
cool.
10 p.m.
10 p.m.
9 central.
10 p.m., really?
Yeah, they moved us an hour later.
What?
Because we're...
Are you guys hardcore now?
Like super hardcore.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. If we're on at 10 p.m., there's more things we can do. Aren't we
That's true.
Literally legally allowed to show
well, you're in,
more violence? And
yeah, you're in safe harbor.
Sex
I think that's what they call
jokes
it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a term for it. I just thought it was 10 p.m. The kids are asleep.
Right. I think it's called safe harbor.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was a law thing that we did in school like years ago.
Yeah, FCC. Or whatever.
Yeah.
They're all in bed. At 10
right.
p.m.
The FCC, yeah.
Everyone
who works at the FCC is asleep at 10 p.m.
Yeah, they're like, we don't care. Do whatever you want.
But yeah, March 22nd, Tuesday.
Yeah.
10-9 central.
And for those of you that don't know, which I imagine everybody knows at this point what Stitchers is, because we're a monster hit.
Yes.
We're here with Ritesh Rajan.
Hello.
Who plays Linus on the show. He's kicking off Stitchers Month for us.
Do people ever come up to you and go, hey, what's up, Linus?
You know, I actually have this one hilarious story. I was at a nightclub in L.A.
You've been to L.A.?
Yeah.
What?
I do live in L.A. And it's a pretty, like, you know, lots of hip-hop music,
mm-hmm.
you know, urban culture. And this massive, massive bouncer. I was dancing next to a larger table. And the bouncer calls me over, and I was like, oh, you know, shit, I'm in trouble.
Right.
He pulls me over, this big dude, and he basically whispers into my ear and goes, Stitchers, that's what's up. And I was so shocked. I was so shocked that it didn't register. And I was like, what did you say? And he's like, yo, Stitchers, that's what's up. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. And my roommate heard it, and we were both shocked. You know, it was hilarious. It was a good time.
That's special.
That was probably my most interesting Stitcher story. And then one time in Santa Monica, I was at a pizza shop, and the dude who was working leans over the counter, and it's a pretty large pizza shop, and I was there with my family, with my brother and sister. And he yells across the restaurant, yo, man, are you Linus? Linus, is that you? And of course, you don't actually respond to your character name.
Right.
Like, it hasn't happened enough where it's like a normal thing
right.
for me. So I was like, I didn't even hear it. And then, like, then it clicks. It clicks. I was like, is he talking to me? Then I turn around and he's like literally diving over the... Like the glass that, like, you know, previews the pizza. And I was like, he's going to ruin all of the pizzas.
He really wanted to talk to you.
But that's all he said.
Really?
He didn't come up to me and didn't ask for an autograph. He's like, Linus, is that you, Linus? And I was like, yep. And I kind of got embarrassed and I blushed and I kind of turned around like I was like a 10-year-old boy
right.
who like pissed his pants.
I don't know what's better, a guy whispering in your ear or a guy jumping over a pizza line.
Yeah. Ruining several.
I will tell you this, I'm crushing the demographics.
Yeah.
Because that one was like a 17-year-old black dude and the other one was a large, like, you know, Mr. Universe black guy. But I guess the common
cool.
thing was they're both black, so I guess...
Yeah.
Because the African-American community really likes Linus.
So,
which makes no sense to me, but hey, you know what?
To each his own.
It's two more than zero. So. Right.
That's progress. That's what we call.
So you like being on the show? I'm sure.
Oh yeah,
do.
Of course.
Yeah, what's your
it.
Deal anyway?
No, you know, I play Linus Alawalia, who is he's a communication engineer with multiple, you know, PhDs. And I make everything just run smoothly between the tank and Cameron and Kirsten and basically, I guess, all the other science techs in the show, and making sure that if there's an issue with Kirsten during the stitch, it's usually my job to figure out and analyze and kind of specifically say what the problem is.
Gotcha.
So, you know.
So you have to be really smart.
Yeah. Smarter than I am in real life, that's for sure. So.
Yeah, I feel like most of our people don't know what they're saying when they're saying it, because we don't know what we're saying when we're writing it.
Well, that's an issue.
So,
well, it's like a science that's not real in a sense. I mean, there are probably some scientific terms that are real, but
yeah.
I mean, the
tank
technology
is a scientific term.
Yeah. Water.
Water. Yes. H2O.
Yeah.
We never refer to it as H2O, though.
No, we don't.
If we were in a lab, probably would.
Season right. 3.
There we go.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Back 10. We're calling it right
Instead,
now.
Instead, we're like, into the drink, stretch.
Yeah. So, but no, it's cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of a geek in real life. Not as geeky as Linus. But, you know, I can get my way around some technical terms.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, what kind of are you into sci-fi and?
Yeah, I you know I love all sci-fi stuff. Like, I'm not a hardcore like Star Wars fan or Star Trek fan or stuff like that. But you know, Matrix is one of my favorite movies. I've probably seen that movie 100 times.
Yeah,
and I love video games. That's really where my nerdy stuff. I like computers and video games, and I'm a big anime fan, which a lot of people don't know.
Really?
So, but that's
super,
kind of 'cause,
super weird.
Yeah. It is a little strange, but I grew up loving martial arts.
Yeah.
And then it kind of was just like, I was a kid, so I watched cartoons, and then cartoons with fighting was just, it just made sense. And
right.
I haven't stopped watching them, so that's probably the only part that doesn't make sense. Usually you stop, you're like 14, you're like 15, oh, I like girls.
Right.
Maybe I should stop watching cartoons.
You just gotta find a girl that likes cartoons.
And yeah, that hasn't happened yet.
So. Yeah.
They're out there, I'm sure.
Wow.
I haven't met them.
That's what Craigslist is for.
My current girlfriend, she doesn't watch them with me.
I'm sorry.
So,
if you need to talk about it, that's fine.
But it's fine.
We're here.
There's no one that
You're
will
on
watch
the couch,
them with
you
me.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Just let it out.
I just I watch them alone.
Yeah.
That's cool.
No, one of my best friends, he's also obsessed with them. So we watch them together and we bromance over that. So.
That's you have like varied interests though, because
yeah, they're totally weird.
You were introduced to the writing staff as being the now I've forgotten the term for it. What's a hobby of yours?
The Indian guy?
No. What are you into?
You're Indian?
Being Indian?
No. So yeah, before I was acting for a living, I taught Zumba.
There we go.
So
oh, that's what
yeah,
it was.
I love dancing also. So.
Yeah, there's some sick Zumba videos of you on the internet.
They're in there, in the depths of the World Wide Web.
Yeah, our first glimpses of Tesh were Zumba. Like, I don't know, is it a competition or is
no,
it just a performance?
Yeah, it was
or?
Just a class. I used to teach at the Zumba convention, which is a pretty big event in the Zumba community. And, you know, we teach classes of a couple hundred people and they do concerts for thousands of people. It's actually a really fascinating and kind of amazing experience. All these people kind of unite over Zumba. And I used to teach teachers specializing in Bollywood and Bhangra dance, which are Indian dances. And I danced in college. I was on a Indian dance team in college called NYU Pandemonium. And we did hip hop and Bhangra, and we used to compete all over the nation. And it was a lot of fun. So it kind of just was, dancing was always a hobby. Just watched a bunch of Michael Jackson music videos. I mean, I've seen The Making of Thriller so many times. It's that in The Matrix.
I've never seen that.
It was on VHS. Cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember watching it.
I think like Warner Video, because all I remember is like the W.
Yeah.
And it was like a behind the scenes of Thriller with John Landis and the makeup and all the stuff.
Costuming,
the aging, and the dance rehearsals.
And how they threw all their, they bought all these clothes from Goodwill.
Yeah.
And put them in like a compost heap.
Yeah. And just like bugs would eat away at them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen it in years. And actually, if I can find it on DVD, I'd probably buy it. But
isn't that music video like 11 minutes long or something? It's like a.
It's a long one, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the best.
Yeah. Oh.
Just like Stitchers.
Yeah. You have something else that's coming out at some point.
Which I'm very excited
to see.
Yeah.
The Jungle Book. Now, I haven't seen it, so I don't know how much of it or how much of me you'll see in the movie. But I do play Mowgli's father. There is a moment in the movie where they flash back and we see how Mowgli ends up in the jungle, being, you know, the little jungle boy that he is. Yeah. And it's a cool little scene. I don't want to give much away because obviously Disney has my number and how tall I am, my social security.
Yeah.
They'll probably instantaneously like just disintegrate me. They probably have a button on me.
Yeah.
But, it comes out in April. I have to double check. I want to say the 15th. Let me double check so I don't give you the wrong date.
Yeah.
Sure.
On this podcast.
But you like worked for a serious amount of time on that.
Yeah. So April 15th, I believe. Yeah. April 15th. That's Friday.
Tax day.
Yeah. Tax day. It's on my phone.
Go see the Jungle Book. File your taxes.
Yeah. File your taxes. Go see the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
Before they had cast their Mowgli, they did a round of auditions for a Mowgli.
Yeah.
And I went in, just did it, and it was really funny because the audition went in and was acting like a kid who lived in the jungle and stopped me halfway through the audition. And they were like, just stop. Just, you don't need to do that. And I was like, okay. They were just like, just play it normal. And I was like, all right, yeah, cool. Easy enough. So did well enough. And they asked me to come back every day for a couple months.
Really?
So basically what they did was they didn't have Mowgli cast. And I guess they needed to start on pre-production in terms of the kind of the special effects and all the animators and get the ball rolling on that front.
Yeah.
So they had me come in and wear the suit. The motion capture suit with all the balls and the rubber suit. And then basically I was put in a room that had, I would say, 1,000 cameras. And we did the whole movie. Like, you know, every day. Come in, call a sheet, memorize the lines. They hired a bunch of other actors and stunt guys to play the animals. And it was an amazing experience. I got to work with Jon Favreau basically for 4 months straight. And we did the whole movie for the animators. You know, it was a lot of, I think, trial and error and figuring out kind of the technical things that they needed to figure out.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of with whatever they do with the computers. So there's a lot of like, look higher, look lower. Okay. Yeah. Take a step back. We need to redo that. Or just like, we're just going to have you walk back and forth for a while on the terrain, which was basically just gray blocks that they would cut and form to make it look like I was walking in the jungle and climbing things. But it was pretty amazing stuff because there was always a screen there that would kind of show a one-to-one of basically, you know, what it looked like in primitive graphics. It was almost looked like graphics from like a Nintendo 64.
Huh.
Basically.
Because it hadn't been rendered yet.
It hadn't been rendered. Yeah, and basically it was very kind of just basic. There was just like a little Indian boy in a red loincloth with no facial expressions, but the body was all one-to-one.
Right.
So if I was moving my hand, like on the screen, it would move, and then, you know, there'd be an actor, and behind them there would be a stunt guy, and they'd run any of the four-legged animals, and they would, you'd see the animals on screen. So they'd see, like, you know, me touching them and interacting, basically, on the most kind of basic graphical level.
Sure. Sure. Well, I mean, in a sense, it's kind of like, I mean, this is very rudimentary, but like the weather lady.
Yeah,
you know, she's pointing
exactly.
You know,
it's a little bit more complex than that. It's actually a lot more complex.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, as far as like the green screen goes,
for
our listeners that are trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, it's kind of like the green screen. But the thing is, what's incredible is there's no green screen.
What?
It's just a room.
It's just because of the
motion capture, and they have all of the cameras. And it's really fascinating. I do believe it was the technology they used for Avatar, and you know, they're just, you know, building on that stuff.
Sure.
And pretty amazing stuff. You know, I think it's all the stuff they use for a lot of the high end video games too, Call of Duty, Halo, all that stuff. Because the studio we were at had all those posters, and so we did the whole thing, and. It was an amazing experience, and then they called me back after they had cast Imogli. They slowly transitioned him in, and
oh, okay.
And then he started doing it, and then they moved to LA Center Studios, and there's where they did the what you would traditional movie with the green screen and like half a set, and
I see
all the foliage and all that stuff, and the set dressing and traditional movie magic stuff you see there.
That's really cool.
But it was really cool. Yeah, I filmed that movie the week before we started for Stitchers, our first week of Stitchers. So I had a massive beard.
Yeah, I remember you coming in for that.
Yeah, I grew my facial hair and my hair for close to 5 months. Didn't cut it once. Wow. And I look gnarly, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does it come in full?
Like? You know, it came in full. My beard is patchy. But like it grows.
Yeah.
Like I don't have the density, but like it grew to the point where at that point it looked like it was really thick. Like I have a photo, I'll show it to you.
Yeah.
Like when I came in for the test for Stitchers, I had my facial hair and my
beard. Let you do that for you.
Well, I told them.
Oh, okay.
I told them because they were like, "What's up with this Indian dude who looks homeless?" And they're like, "Really? This is the guy that we wanted to bring in for the second test?"
Yeah,
for the second go around. And I was like, "No, I'm doing the Jungle Book with Jon Favreau," which I think it helped. I think they were impressed.
I would think so. Yeah,
because I remember
same parent company.
Yeah, just kind of all in the family. They're like, we own him, so we might as well just abuse him. Let's throw him on Freeform or ABC Family at the time. No, but it was great. You know, it's one of those experiences that to have, I think, in kind of early in my professional career, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, there's not many people who can say they've, you know, first of all, worked with Jon Favreau every day for an extended period of time and kind of work with cutting edge technology.
Right.
So I you know, if I ever get that opportunity again, I'll be lucky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the original Jungle Book, I mean, I was little and I watched that all the time, that and like Wizard of Oz, but you know, like those movies are not just because you got to work with Jon Favreau, but like little kids growing up, they're going to watch that movie and go, wow, this is amazing.
And they're going to see me, and it's hopefully they'll see me.
Yeah.
and it'll be great. I mean, the movie looks gorgeous. And, you know, the who they casted for Mowgli, he's a great kid, Neil, and super charismatic and just charming. And he looks like Mowgli. So it's going to be great. And the cast is totally stacked. So all the voices. And, I mean, that they're definitely going for it. So
I mean, cool to be a part of that.
Oh yeah, totally. And there was a really cool thing they did where the pack of wolves, you know, they kind of all have like traditional either Indian names or South Asian names, and they named one of the wolf cubs after me, which is what they wrote in the script. So one of the cubs, his name is Tesh. So I thought that was pretty cool. Which I actually was like, wow, I'm officially a Disney character.
Yeah.
So that's a little behind the scenes tidbit. I don't know if they kept it. I'm just worried like everything they did with me, they're just gonna get rid of. Like the editing room. They're just gonna go to the editing room and they won't tell me, and then I'll go to the premiere and I was like,
get him out.
I guess I'm not in the movie.
Have you watched Master of None?
I've seen like the first five episodes.
Okay.
So I've seen the Indian actors episode. Is that the one you were going to refer to?
No, there's a later one.
I think they cut him out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The movie's in. They cut him out, and he's like, "I invited my friends and my parents."
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's a real thing, I guess. I don't know.
It happened to me.
You guys would know, right?
Yeah.
I did a movie with John C. Reilly, and we went to see it, and it took place, like my scenes took place in the 70s, and the movie takes place over the course of like 40 or 50 years. And so it was the 70s. I'm like, here we go. This is going to be awesome. And then cut to John C. Reilly is much older, and it's clearly like the 90s, and like Third Eye Blind or something's playing in the background. I was like, Oh, dude.
I just remember looking at you and going, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, 'cause it's like, oh, cool.
Well, it's like, it's got to be a terrible feeling. You know, you're just so excited to see it and like see yourself and be like, I'm finally doing something. And then it's just like, shit.
And you've been like telling everybody for months
I have this, like this fear that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, with the whole thing, with the what happens is... We did multiple cuts of multiple versions of what my scene entails in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knows what they're going to use.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'll know when you guys know, I guess. So,
well, it's like when you know, you have this job that you're hoping to get, but you don't want to tell anybody because as soon as you tell them, it's like not going to happen.
It's a bad juju thing.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So, but it's done. I filmed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a great learning experience. And then I kind of brought that energy onto Stitchers and, you know, here we are.
What was that?
Sitting on your couch.
I don't know. Have we had anybody that's like a series regular on a TV show?
I don't think so.
Because you're the first.
I'm breaking grounds here. That's this big. Is really great.
Because I wanted to ask about like the whole process of, because you don't just show up to one audition and you get the role.
No.
Like, it's a bigger process going to the network.
Yeah, absolutely.
For those of you who are crazy enough to try acting, listen to this.
Yeah, acting is definitely something you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Unless you love it to the point of where you can't live without it.
That's beautiful.
That's my one gem of advice.
Yeah.
That probably no one will listen to. But if you do listen to me, you have to love what you do. But I think that it's applicable to anything that you do in life. You got to love what you do. But back to the process of how I ended up on Stitchers. It was like the week before Christmas, before like everyone disappears for Christmas break. And got a call from my agent on Friday and goes, hey, you have an audition on Monday, which is kind of rare. Because you never really get calls on Fridays to come in on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess pilot season's always crazy.
Yeah.
So get the call on Friday. I'm like, great. I'll read the script. They're like, this is like an old version of the script. We don't know where it's at. And it was the script to the original pilot.
Right.
Which apparently I later found out that no one should have had. Or something.
Yeah,
or something
I don't know.
Of that nature. Right.
You got a good agent.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
My reps are the best. And... read it and I was like, all right, cool. You know, and I was excited because it was like, you know, most of the time you get these sci-fi roles and there's an Indian character who's a scientist. You basically are going to play a stereotype. You're basically kind of screwed a little bit. And obviously, you know, beggars can't be choosers. And not that Linus is that. So basically I was actually really relieved because like, yeah, he was the Indian scientist on a sci-fi show. But at the same time, there was some, you know, real integrity to his character, which I was like, this I can do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always weird. It's like, well, will you ever play the Indian doctor? And I was like, yeah, of course. You know, like my parents are doctors. There's a lot of Indian doctors. There's a lot of Indian scientists.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to have that opportunity more than probably playing like the action hero or the love interest, right?
Sure.
So it's like I can't turn those opportunities away. Yeah. But like anything else, those people are real and they feel and they love and they laugh and they cry and they hate. And that's what I'm looking for. So I read it and I was like, oh, this is cool. And he was kind of like the dry, sarcastic, you know, funny, wears his heart on his sleeve. And there was a lot of colors to him. So I was really excited. Went in Monday morning at 10 a.m. Read for the casting director. And he was like, all right, cool. Come back at 11. You're going to read for the director. And I was like, okay, great. So Todd Holland was doing the first episode. Came back at 11 and, you know, Todd is super high energy.
Yeah.
And it was a little nerve-wracking because his energy in the room, you could feel it.
Hmm.
And he was like, that was great. Do it again. And I was just like, okay, you know, I got to do what I got to do. And it was funny because during that 1 hour period from 10 to 11, I just went back into my car and I was like, I guess I'll just sit here and run the lines over and over again. And I basically just sat in my car and just sweated for, you know, just for an hour. Yeah. I was like, I got to take my shirt off. I'm starting to sweat. I'm getting nervous. Went back in and, you know, it went well enough. Yeah. And I got a call later that afternoon and my agent was like, okay, they want you to test on Wednesday. And it was, you know, I got the call on Monday and I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And that was kind of it. I basically Tuesday spent the entire day calling all of my other actor friends who had tested before, because I never tested. It was my first test.
And what is a test exactly?
So basically it's when all the executives of the network, the head of casting, and the heads of the TV show, the show you're auditioning for, are all in a room, basically a conference room, and you audition in front of them.
So no pressure.
Gosh. Yeah, so it's basically all the bosses, all the creative heads, all the, you know, suits, all the financial heads, network heads, you know, all the top honchos, yeah. And you lay it out all. You just lay it out. You show them what you got, you know, and...
Well, thank you. I'm good.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely nerve-wracking. And the best part is they make you wait in a room with all the other people auditioning. And it's like a small group at that point. Yeah, it's going to be like a couple of people at most, you know. I think there was five of us, including me. So I spent the day before just... running lines with my buddy, who's my best friend, who's also an actor, and just over and over and over and over and over, like till I knew the scene inside out. Like I could do it in my sleep, you know, eating. I could do it in the podcast with my eyes blindfolded while I was riding a giraffe running down the street. Like it didn't matter what I was doing. I could do the scene like that.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, all right, and you know, just let me just get a good night's rest and just try and stay focused. And went in and just did my thing. And it was just one of those things where every actor I spoke to said, it's going to be the worst audition of your life. Like, expect the worst. I shouldn't say it's going to be the worst audition of your life, but the feeling and the energy in the room is going to be very cold. It's going to be stagnant. They're not going to give you much. They're not going to react. You know, they want to make it a level playing field.
Sure.
They don't want to give away who's good, who's bad, who did great, who didn't do well.
Yeah.
And I went in, and not to toot my own horn, it was probably one of the best auditions I've ever had.
No,
like, people were laughing. They were just, like, joking around. I was ad-libbing with the casting director because he was reading with me. And, like... It just went really well. Like, it was just a good audition, and everybody was really warm and really kind and just supportive, which was basically the opposite of what everyone said that experience was going to be like. And I was like, you know what? It is what it is. I did what I could.
Yeah, I
felt like I did a great job. Whatever happens, happens. It's you know, this is the furthest I've ever gone for a TV show before. I never tested, so I'll take that as a win.
Yeah.
And I went to In-N-Out. Right afterwards,
as you do,
and I got a 3x3 animal style with animal style fries. Came home, I got like 90% through it, and I was like, I'm nauseous. and right as I said that to myself, my phone rang and my manager called me, and they were like, you got it. And I was like, this is amazing.
I'm going to finish this burger.
I almost threw up. Yeah. And then I was like, can I stop teaching Zumba? That was the first thing I said to my agent and my manager. And they were like, not yet. Not until we get the paperwork. And then I called my mom first. She didn't pick up. And then I called my dad, which is hilarious because, you know, obviously they all knew I was going in for a test.
Yeah.
And like my dad, he gets it, but he didn't really get it. Like he didn't understand I was going to be like a regular on a TV show that, you know, a lot of people would see. And he was like, oh, that's great. You did it. Like, oh, God, it's fantastic. Oh, it's so good. Wait, what is the show called? I was like, it's called Stitchers. He's like, what? I'm like, it's called Stitchers, Dad. What? It's called Norman. I'm like, wait, what did you say? Normal. The show is called Normal. Why did they call the show Normal? I was like, no, it's called Stitchers. He's like, Normal. That's a terrible name. I'm like, Dad, just put Mom on the phone. And I was like, then I explained my mom what the show was actually called.
Right.
And then she told him. And show is not called Normal, everybody. I don't
know
why.
How do you get normal from Stitches?
You know, I don't know. It was probably one of those things where he was like watching the Discovery Channel, because he does that. He'll like watch the Discovery Channel when my mom isn't home. So he'll watch the Discovery Channel, and it's probably some sort of cheetah chasing the gazelle, and he was like really into it or something. He wasn't really listening to me.
Yeah, that's great.
That's great.
No, it was a funny moment. I was just so frustrated, because you think like at that moment that's the most you know, success, and I'm like so elated and just deflated instantly by my dad.
Yep.
I was like, oh,
sounds familiar. Yeah.
If there's anything to do to ruin success, it's your immigrant parents.
Oh yeah.
They're in New York, right?
Yeah, my parents are both in New York. They're both doctors. And they're just hanging out.
And your brother's in the
industry. My brother's in the industry. He's a producer. He heads M. Night Shyamalan's production company, Blinding Edge Pictures. So they recently just came out with The Visit, which is
great movie.
Just came out on DVD, I think, last month.
Yeah.
And then they're working on season two right now of Wayward Pines.
Very cool.
So
that's awesome.
So it's the number one show of the summer.
Are you gonna get on that show too?
I don't know. I don't think Freeform will let me do anything.
Oh, so, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, maybe. We'll see. You know, the opportunity has to arise. So.
Right.
It you know, we're big believers of, obviously, of doing the right thing and going in for the right roles, you know.
Sure.
It's like if I played the grandmother in The Visit, that would be...
That'd have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
One would be awesome, but two, I'd be like, why is...
Or I could have played the grandchild, and then they would have been like, so I'm adopted, right?
Really? Yeah. Like, all you got to do is know how to freestyle rap. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah.
You're in.
So...
how did you get your start acting?
You know, it was one of those things I just did in school. I was big into martial arts. I did Taekwondo for a really long time, and that's what I loved doing as a kid.
I did too.
And
we have something in common.
Yeah.
Cool.
So did that all throughout kind of grade school, and you know, went to the Junior Olympics and black belt, all that stuff. And I would say around like middle school, I would say 7th or 8th grade, I always had an interest in singing and dancing and kind of acting, like just kind of performing. And I was always watching action movies and Power Rangers and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of got into it because I enjoyed singing. And so I started singing, and, you know, there was not many guys, you know, growing up when you're a kid, 13. I'm like, I'm a guy who wants to be in a musical. They're like, well, you're a loser. Right. You know, so it's like, now things have changed, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
Started kind of just doing the local shows, like high school, middle school, any local production I can get my hands in on. And, just stuck. And basically in high school, I was like, do I want to be a doctor or do I want to be an actor? And I would say in about 9th grade, I was like, forget it. I'm going to do it. I want to be an actor. And basically from then on, I did everything I could do to basically be a better actor and just kind of learn the craft and, you know, just kind of immerse myself in the world and study and did every show I could be in school, high school, you know, kind of local productions. And then I was always kind of, you know, figuring out what I could do over the summer, took acting classes, interned at casting director's office in the city, in New York City. I grew up in Westchester, New York, Putnam County, but nobody knows where that is. But if I say Westchester, people know.
Putnam County 40, Spelling Bee?
Is that 45 north, 45 minutes north of?
Yeah, 45 minutes. Yeah, but Putnam County Spelling Bee, yeah.
Nice.
So
we researched.
So then I, you know, went to NYU for acting. Went to Stella Adler. It's a great school, New York. Stella Adler Studio of Acting. And after I graduated, I did my episode of Law and Order in New York.
Sweet.
Original.
Gotta check
none,
that box
none
off.
None of that SVU nonsense.
Yeah.
Original Law and Order. And I was like, I did it. I'm an actor. I can quit now.
Yeah.
how did you get that?
Auditioned. You know, I had an agent.
Okay.
I had an agent. And
did you get an agent through school or?
You know, I interned with at the Vineyard Theater in New York, and did that for a couple of summers, and they were really just super generous to me, and they were great, and I learned a lot there. You know, my one thing was I did anything they wanted me to do there, but I just asked that I just could sit in on the auditions and just watch.
Yeah.
And that was it. And honestly, it was one of the greatest learning tools that, you know, I kind of ever had, just to be able to just see people, see what works, what doesn't, what's good, what's bad, you know, what, what's, you know, sticks in my mind, and kind of, you know, see what's specific and the specificity of the people that are great. And, you know, there's a lot of good actors out there that a lot of people don't see.
What are some of those qualities?
You know, for me, it's one of those things where everyone comes in and they're going to play the character, right? But what makes someone unique is actually who you are as a person. You know, if Zuber and I are going in and, you know, to play, you know, the same character, the words we're going to say are the same. You know, the intention of the scene is going to be the same. But what's actually different is that, you know, this is Zuber and I'm Tesh.
Right.
So it's kind of like...
That's why I didn't get Linus.
it's almost like finding the differences and the similarities between you and the character and kind of figuring out how to bring those qualities to life, right? What makes you unique, you know? Like, it'll be really strange if I were to go in and play like a jock, like bully.
Right, because like that's not you.
It's not me.
Right.
No, that's not to say that I can't go in and play that and intimidate somebody and do it.
Yeah.
But it's not me.
Yeah. And you can see that.
Yeah, and you can see that. I think everyone has an inherent quality to who they are as a human being that comes off throughout their characters, throughout the, you know, their lifetime. I think if you study somebody's work, you'll see that. Like, you know, if you see kind of an actor who's been around for a long time and you watch all of their material, you'll see at least one thing that kind of is universal that shines through their work. And that may not be explained, but a lot of the times it's what gets them their work.
That it quality.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit of an X factor thing. And then obviously, you know, there's no replacement for hard work.
Right.
Like being prepared, I think in our business, is huge. A huge thing. And people take that for granted. There's so many actors, especially in LA, that I think just don't prepare.
They think it's the easy. The editors appreciate it too.
Yeah. And, I think everyone does.
Yeah.
You know, other actors do too. You know, if I'm in a scene with somebody, and one of the best things as an actor is to have a scene partner who's good, because it makes your life so much easier. So it's just one of those things. You know, it's we're all pieces to a puzzle. You know, from in front of the camera to behind the camera, and if everyone's prepared, that's when you have really great work. And it's something I preach and something that I do, you know, at least I try to do, to hold myself to a certain standard.
Right.
You know, you kind of have to dedicate yourself to your craft and obsess over it. And, you know, and some people find that strange, but when you love something that you do, you want to be the best. You want to learn more. You want to grow. You want to experience all these new kind of ideas that will kind of broaden your horizons, you know, so... That's what it's about. Since otherwise, what's the point? You know, you can stay at the same level and kind of hang out there, but why? So
that's very well said.
Yeah.
Did
you write that ahead of time?
Oh no, that was on the cuff.
Whoa.
Was
impressive.
That good?
That's
so
impressive.
Improv.
Improv is one of my skills.
You have an improv. Yeah.
I have a question about direction.
Yeah.
It's basically, is being able to take direction one of those qualities that you look for as well?
You know, I think I don't have much of a point of view as a director. I would assume as a director, it's great to work with actors who are flexible and malleable, you know, but I think as an actor, you have to have a kind of a starting point, and that starting point has to be specific. But also, I think it has to be in a realm where you can move around, right? You mm-hmm. know who you are as a character. And in a weird way, the specificity allows you to jump from any point of view that you can. You know, it's like, we used to do this acting exercise when we used to do a lot of Shakespeare work. And the teacher would just yell, you know, we'd have the same line. And the teacher would just yell, change. And you had to give a new action to the line, meaning like it had to have a different intention every single time. But the line is always the same.
Right.
But the line can change, you know, and it changes the scene and it changes your scene partner and affects the overall goal of what's going on. And now, sometimes when we're in the lab and I just have to yell, go, you know.
Yeah.
That you don't need to put
go,
that stuff.
Go.
That's true. Yeah, you just sometimes it's just simple as just reading the line on the page. But sure. In terms of director giving you direction, you know, I think they want to see the different colors of the character. And mm-hmm. sometimes as a person, you know, Ritesh will block what Linus wants to say. Subconsciously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
it happens all yeah. the time. Especially yeah. I think on TV shows when the pace is fast mm-hmm. and it's not like a movie where we can sit down and we can rehearse and yeah. we can talk about it.
Right.
So sometimes you just fall into a safety net and you kind of get into these bad habits and you just like do the same thing over yeah. and over and over again. But human beings don't do that, right? It's like it's fun for me and Kyle to joke and like be like, oh, you know, we're just like buddies and we're joking on set and we're funny. But a lot of the times it's, you know, both of us and, you know, we put in the work and those moments are created because we take direction and we let the flexibility live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not every take is the same. Sometimes if something has to be emotional and it's not happening, my personality and my choice is usually I'm like, I'm not going to force it. I'm just going to mm-hmm. give them a take that doesn't have as much, you know, maybe oomph or pressure, or I'm just going to go with it and play this action or, you know, mm-hmm. play this point of view and see what happens. It may be better. It may be not, you know, maybe not, but it's never wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's never wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just always different, you know, and it's kind of...
Well, that's part of the creative process.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, when going back towards direction, I love when directors give me direction because it gives me something to focus on.
Sure.
That's different from what I was focusing on. And like I said before, it kind of is like, oh, you know what? I didn't think of that. Or you know what? I think that's probably better than the choice that I made. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like, well, it's not better than the choice that I made, but you do it anyways.
Right.
Just to see what it's like. And they're asking you. They're asking you. And that's the kind of, I think, the respect and, you know, the relationship the director and actor should have, you know, and that happens too. But I think you always got to give it a shot and you never know where it's going to take you. That may lead somewhere else. If they're like, hey, can you color this a different way or can you change this a different way? So I think being specific allows you to do that quickly.
Yeah.
You know,
it's because you've made a choice and you know that you can change that.
Yeah. And you know, and I think that's kind of where preparation and training and just practice, you know, like anything else. It's like playing an instrument. The more you practice, the better you're going to get.
Right.
And that's the bottom line. As much as an artistic endeavor it is, and you know, it's you hear those, you know, a lot with acting, this like, you know, artistic journey. It's like, it's true. But it's practice, like anything else. The more you do it, the better you're gonna get, the better you are gonna be at conveying and being specific and kind of playing these emotions and you know, working with your scene partners.
Right on.
Yeah.
So
we should talk a little bit about auditioning because I imagine it's kind of, I mean, they say, you know, you want to go into auditions having made a choice about a character rather than just playing it flat.
Yeah.
But it's kind of risky also because they could be going for something completely different. And you've made, like, how do you,
you know,
you're getting sides for something, how do you make that choice?
For me, a rule of thumb is you go in and you play it the way you kind of, you planned it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel like kind of on the other side of the table, if it's good, but it's the wrong choice, I think they recognize that. Then they'll either give you a note.
Change.
Yeah, can you change? Can you change? Exactly. Yeah. So can you change? Or, you know, I've been in auditions plenty of times where they'll say, hey, can you do this instead? or you know what, that was completely wrong. This is what we want you to do. Can you do that?
Yeah.
And you do it because that's what they want.
Right.
Now, for me personally, I feel like when I go in an audition, if I don't get a callback, I did something wrong. Like I wasn't good enough. There was something missing,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Because to me, the callback means they like what you did. You're a good actor. They want to work with you. See, get you to a point where what you're doing can exist on the show.
Right.
Once you're there at the callback, I think it's out of your hands. At that point, there's so many politics involved. Like, is he the right look? Is this what we want? You know, there's so many things. Like, yeah. you know, do we want an Indian? Do we want a white guy? Like, it's like just in comparison. Because, you know, it's like they have the lead cast and it's, you know, an African-American and they want the sidekick. Do they want the sidekick to be Indian or do they want yeah. a white guy? Like, there's just so yeah, many yeah, things yeah. that, like, we don't think of as actors or artists or just because we're just preparing the material mm-hmm. that go into this decision-making that is just completely out of our control.
Yeah.
That it's just at that point it's just like, okay, I've done my job. I'm gonna give you the best version of what I can give you. And if you like it, fantastic. And if you don't, there'll be another audition.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's kind of
it's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, because you can't get hung up on it. I mean, rejection is part of the process. For every 100 auditions I go on, I get one. You know?
1%.
1%.
Wow.
The 1% of the 1%.
God, that's so miserable.
Stitchers, yeah, it's terrible. It's abysmal.
Ugh.
I think like Damon and I were like talking about it, and I think we were talking about it. The fact that we're on Stitchers, like there's a higher mathematical chance that him and I could go and play in the NBA.
Wow.
Like for the amount of people that like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if you took how many actors are just there in like the US and how many basketball players there are like auditioning for or trying out for teams.
Yeah.
I wonder what like the mathematical percentage is of people who make a living acting
you versus do
make
it,
a living
man.
Playing basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
Because basketball players make a ton of money, so you should.
Just really think about doing the NBA, man.
Should I do it? Like, should I switch careers
yeah. right now? Yeah.
Yeah, that boat has passed.
We got that a court down sailed. There. We can
hang out. Some hoops. We can practice.
But yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Because the listeners have only been able to watch season one of Stitchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What episode? Well, two. One. What is your favorite episode of season one, and who is your favorite director of season one?
Ooh.
Oh boy.
Oh God, I'm gonna get in trouble.
Oh, no, it's just a preference.
Yeah. It's just a career-ending preference.
Yeah.
Well, there's got to be a reason.
Who
I mean,
is going to direct me the most? Moving on.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Season one, my favorite episode. I would say eight. It's like between 8 and 9, if I'm right. Eight
oh,
was the
yeah.
bottle. It was the
Halloween the sick, episode. Well,
no, the bottle.
The bottleneck episode.
John Badham's.
John Badham's episode yeah. was eight, yeah, was which for me was fun because as an actor, I got to show off different colors for Linus. You know, it was,
yeah.
you know, it's all fun and games. You know, I'm running around kind of like the headless chicken in the lab. And
right.
like, oh, what? Come here, what? You don't want to go on a date with me? Huh? What? And to
it's literally how he delivers it. It's amazing.
To kind of having some great scenes and the first time seeing my parents too, which was I love them. They're fantastic.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they're great people.
Skyping it up at that.
Yeah, and yeah. so it was just great to have a scene where I kind of could flex the muscles a little bit and really get into the material. And I really like 9 because that was an episode of Stitchers where my storyline happened outside of the lab mm-hmm. and a lot of that episode was outside of the lab at my home in my house. And it kind of felt like a different show. I mean, it's still very much Stitchers,
yeah.
but the mood was, this is what the people are like in their real lives. Like not at
right.
work, I
yeah.
should
right,
say.
Right.
Not in their real lives, but not at work, which was new. You know, we were 9 episodes in.
I like episodes like that.
Yeah, and it's a nice. It yeah. kind of gives a different change of pace. And remember, even when we were shooting it, everyone was like, oh, this is a relief. We're not in the lab anymore.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And it
nice.
Just, and the energy was just, it was alive and flowing.
Yeah. Well, and as a audience member, you feel like you know the character more.
Exactly, right? So you can connect with them because you're like, oh, this is what happens.
Yeah, when, I really like Linus. So,
yeah,
you know,
I really like his, you know, overbearing Indian parents. Everyone related with.
I remember the first time I heard your dad speak when he wasn't playing your dad, and I was like, oh, because
he's got acting. This.
Yeah.
He's got that
super
hard
awesome.
Enough.
Yeah.
He's a. Camille.
Yeah. And then he's like, hey guys, how was your weekend?
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
Rona Beer. Yeah, he's great.
He's awesome.
I think he's doing a play in Chicago right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Shout out to Rona Beer.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cool.
And so my favorite director, that's tough. I had.
Or some directors that you enjoy. Yeah, and also, who did you hate the most?
I'm not going to answer that question.
On the air.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great working with John Badham, just someone who has so much experience.
Yeah. Great guest of ours as well.
And just just someone who – it's great to work with people who have worked with other people. You know, they just have so much valuable experience, and you just learn so much with them. And just every day, I'm just, you know, just sponge, just soaking up any sort of information he can give you. Love Rob Greenlee.
Who did Nine, yep.
Who else?
Man, I don't know.
I'm trying to now remember.
Yeah, it feels like forever ago. Yeah, it's funny because we've been watching.
Like, wait, now I'm like, wait, now I remember everyone who did season two.
We've been watching.
What are some directors in season two that you like? Because then when people are watching the episode, they'll be like, oh, I remember. He said that.
Silver Tree.
Yep.
She's fantastic. Nina
Corrado.
Oh, yeah. From her. The Mentalist.
Yeah, everybody loved Nina. Yeah.
Love Nina. Nina made me laugh a lot, Offset. And obviously, Rob Greenlee was back.
Yep.
Miller
Tobin.
Tobin, yeah.
You've worked with Miller.
I have, yeah.
Season two was solid.
Gossip Girl, yeah.
Season two
Janice,
is very
Janice
solid.
Was great.
Yeah, I worked
you've
with
worked
her
with
as
Janice,
well,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, she's cool. Like, whenever she comes into post, she brings Roscoe Chicken and Waffles, and it's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's Janice. Yeah, Janice would do great. That. That's dope.
Yeah. She's really fun.
What about, what's his name?
Yeah, very good.
Mr. Jason Voorhees himself. Oh, no, Halloween.
Who?
Miner.
Oh, Steve Miner?
Yeah.
Steve Miner actually makes me laugh the most.
He's hilarious. He's a funny
person. As a person, he's...
The first time I met him, I was way too drunk to have met him.
Yeah, I was at the rap party.
Yeah.
All dressed in white.
Oh, God. Yeah, he had like a
fox.
Scarf.
Yeah. I was like, I shouldn't be talking to you right now, but I'm really a fan of your work.
I kept calling him the Silver Fox.
That's funny.
And then I kept asking him if he was going to make money off of Mortal Kombat when they released Jason as a character. I kept bugging him.
Was he like, who are you and why are you talking to me?
Well, I love scary movies. So we talk a lot about horror flicks.
He's a pro when it comes to that.
Yeah. So we had a good time. The Halloween episode was fun.
Yeah.
Because that was just episode 11.
Yeah.
And we were just done at that point. We were just like, forget it.
It was kind of like we got a bone at, like, school got extended by a week.
Oh, right. Because like, you only had 10 episodes in your season.
Yeah, and then they were like, oh, well, we're going to do this other standalone thing.
But it was weird. It was like school got extended for a week, but every day of school was a half a day.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So it felt like the last week of school.
It did.
Because it was just at that point we were just like, ah, and we were filming in this weird mansion, creepy house, which was totally bizarre.
Almost killed Steve Miner. There was a 5 inches of dust on everything. He was at Village just hacking up along the whole time. I was like, are you okay?
But I will say, obviously, my experiences on set have been really great. You know, whatever, even doing like just being a day player or guest spot to Jungle Book to Stitchers. And I do have to say, kind of the atmosphere on the set is really amazing.
On our show?
Yeah, on our show.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty amazing. You know, we're all friends, and we all get along, and I really enjoy coming to work every day.
That's 90% of it, I'm sure.
It's a good place to be.
I'm blessed, that's for sure.
We had great catering this season, you know?
Yeah.
Solid.
Great post crew.
We had Indian food every day.
We did.
Which was amazing for me. I don't know how everyone else felt.
We were all pretty pissed.
First week I was there, I was like, damn. I was like, oh. I was like, shit, there's Indian food. Great. And the second day I was like, there's Indian food again. And again. And again. And again. And again. And again. For 10 episodes straight.
Yep. Didn't miss a day. Just Indian food. Not just Indian food. Always an option.
Oh, yeah, there would there would be like whatever the cuisine is of the day, and then there would be probably at least two to three dishes that were Indian. Our head chef was Sri Lankan. Wow. So,
oh, is that where he was from?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. That.
Sebastian, was that?
Yeah, Sebastian.
Sebastian, and he was an ice sculptor. So on the last week, he sculpted.
Oh, he did those.
Yeah, he did those.
Oh, those were.
He sculpted
sick.
An ice horse, or seahorse. Not an ice horse. It was an ice seahorse. And I was like, I was standing. I was like, oh my god, who did this? And he was like, well, I did. And I looked at him. And I was like, you're a man of many talents. I was like, who is it? Just a hobby. I'm just going to do ice sculptures with a chainsaw.
You have to like go get that amount of ice and then
I guess
know what you're going to cut. Yeah.
Before it melts. I don't know. You have to stand in a freezer somewhere.
I think people do it outside.
We should do
you don't want to do that inside with a chainsaw.
No.
Well, I don't know. We should do an ice sculpting podcast after this one is done.
That sounds like a good idea.
Just do an ice luge instead. Just do shots.
Yeah.
That seems like the best idea.
Yeah.
Andrew, this is the first time you're taking an alcoholic drink.
That's right.
Godspeed.
Good luck. Well, an ice luge is a good way to do it.
Is it? I don't know these
It's better
things.
Than like going into a dive bar and drinking out of a glass that probably has like 50 different, you know, billion amoebas in it.
I'm never going to a dive bar again. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Ruined it.
I don't know. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about? We're here for you.
I don't know.
Is there anything else? Yeah. Is there anything you can really tease for season two?
I think people know since publicity released a little, the first 5 minutes of episode 201.
Yep.
That Cameron does survive.
What?
The male lead wasn't killed on her show.
Yeah, that's good.
Too much of my dismay, because I would have really loved getting bumped up on the call sheet.
That would have been awesome for you.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
It really would have been amazing, you know? It's like...
We're going to tell Kyle that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I've already texted him that.
I'm sure, yeah, he knows.
I mean, what other... There's no...
Oh, we hung out in the cockpit of the airplane from the movie Airplane.
But did that actually happen? Because we really were like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, there's no way he could have...
That's what the guy kept saying. He was like, this is where they shot Airplane, is in this cockpit.
I saw him on an actual airplane before.
He is incredibly tall.
Oh, yeah.
And I was comfortable in that cockpit seat, but he's like 2.5 feet. Taller than me.
His head almost hit, like, the overhead, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, inches away. How is that possible?
Well, Tesh was breaking stuff in there.
I got yelled at.
Did you?
Yeah, I got yelled at, and we both were like, oh.
What's funny is then the next week, or...
Oh, yeah.
Like, 2 weeks ago, JJ and I went to the set of The Muppets, and they were shooting on an airplane set at ABC, and that guy was there.
That same dude.
Wearing his Air Hollywood shirt.
Zuber's back.
Yeah.
You're like the only person.
Don't let that guy onto the plane because he'll break something.
We had a lot worse jokes because I was on the plane in the cockpit that I won't repeat over the podcast.
Probably,
but we had a really good time.
Smart.
We did have a good time.
We had a really good time.
It was really lovely. Yeah.
But yeah, season two, it's better for sure. It's darker. I think it's grittier. It's more mature. The characters are definitely more mature.
That's why we're on at 10.
I think that's why we're on at 10 o'clock. I hope people stick around and watch it. If not, watch it the next day. DVR it, because we all know that you don't like watching commercials. So just make sure you watch it within the 3-day period so we can get the +3 rating.
Yeah.
Probably no one knows what that means, but just do it.
They do.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
The millennials know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably
or the +7.
+7.
They're Snapchatting right now.
Yeah.
About +3 and +7.
Yeah.
That's a hot topic.
It's trending.
My +3.
I successfully have now trended +3, +7. Thank you very much, Twitter.
You have a Twitter account?
I do have a Twitter account. It's at Tesh Rajan. So TESHRAJAN. And same thing for Instagram. And the same thing for Snapchat. And on Facebook.
Genius.
It's my full name, Ritesh Rajan. So RITESHRAJAN. That's, you can find me there on Facebook. But season two, I'm excited. You know, the relationships between the characters, I think, really kind of evolve and deepen. And it's one of those things now where I think the lab kind of becomes a backdrop to character relationships, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, that's what connects us all, mm-hmm. but it's not what pushes the story. You know, I think there's a lot of interesting personal conflicts that are happening without season two, and kind of everyone deals with it in their own way, and we kind of all split off and we all come back together, and it's a new improved Scooby gang. And
yep.
And the cases themselves, the Stitch cases, I think are just much more intricate, much more involved, much more interesting. And 10 o'clock, I think they're a little bit more violent too.
Yeah.
Which I think everyone can dig.
Yeah.
Oh, and Damon takes his shirt off.
Damon takes his shirt off, and his biceps are basically the size of my chest.
So, yeah, it's so hot.
Which means my chest, I have a very large chest, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's ripped and it's shredded. So are Damon's biceps.
Yeah.
Whew, that's good, because someone needs to have large biceps on our show. Sorry, Kyle.
What a bummer.
Oh, it's not me. I have very large quadriceps.
Is that a word?
Quadriceps, yep. Yeah. Oh. There's a muscle like right here.
I've just always heard quad, I guess.
So look, you can touch them.
Oh, those feel great.
No, seriously. Like you can feel them.
Do I have those? I just ran a marathon. Yeah, I should have.
You look emaciated, but that's because you just ran a marathon.
I feel terrible.
You should go to the doctor.
I should.
Do you need like a banana boat? Should I just be pumping glucose into you right now?
Yeah, I need like just to mainline some potassium.
What did you eat right after the marathon?
I had one slice of pizza. I was like not hungry.
You're not hungry?
No. I'm very buff.
Congratulations.
Like 2 days later, I went to Boston Market and I just destroyed that place.
Boston Market.
But
that's like the whitest place you can go.
Dude.
For American fast food.
I tweeted at Boston Market like while I was sitting there. And I said, for everybody, when I go to Boston Market and there's not a line around the block of people to get in, I turn to those invisible people and I'm like, you're what's wrong with the universe.
I'll never forget the first time I went to Boston Market with my parents. And like, obviously to Indian people.
Oh, I'm sure
all
it's terrible.
All food is bland.
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
All food.
Yeah.
And my parents, I remember my parents like looking for things. We're like the family that used to travel with food, like Indian food. Like my mom would make food to eat in the car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like she would make Indian food to then put in like ice boxes in Ziploc bags. Like if we went, we used to drive to Philadelphia a lot. I have a lot of family in Philly, and then I have cousins in Buffalo. So, but mm-hmm. we used to just drive. We just road trip.
Yeah.
So instead of like at the road stop, you know, on the turnpike in Jersey, you go to like whatever, Burger King or McDonald's or Roy Rogers, you know, which I think only exists on the turnpike now.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah,
Rogers,
either.
Look it up. Yeah. I'm going to bring it back.
All right.
It's kind of like Arby's meets like Burger King. I think they do roast beef sandwiches, but they have really great curly fries.
All right.
So,
thank you behind that. I like curly fries.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would be like, I want to go to Nathan's and get a hot dog and cheese fries.
Yeah.
And my mom would like bust open a Ziploc bag with just super traditional South Indian food. Like they would.
Like what exactly?
So she used to do, it's basically a lentil cake. It's like a lentil sponge cake. It's savory. It's called an idli. It's basically white. And then they put basically a spice mixture on it called mulligapudi, which basically translates to some sort of like chili powder.
Okay.
But in India, they'll call it gunpowder.
Oh, and, so it's strong.
And yeah,
so
it's spicy.
I can't eat it.
Okay. So yeah, so you basically, that was it. And I was like, I don't want to eat this shit. I'm a brat. I'm like 8 years old. I want chicken nuggets. I'm American. Stop force feeding me Indian food. I don't want to eat with my hands, which now I love Indian food. So. Yeah. I really grew up. It comes full circle.
Sure.
I like Indian. Oh, you should. You'll have to tell him about the
buffet.
I'll
tell him after.
Tell him after.
Yeah.
For the behind the scenes.
I got somebody killed. That's all.
No, but I love Indian food. So, yeah, South Indian food is very different from the normal North Indian food, which you guys get in, you know, your traditional Indian restaurants in America. Like the chicken tikka masala,
yeah,
saag paneer, naan. Mm-hmm. South Indian food is dosa, idli, sambar, vadas. They're completely different.
Sandbar?
Sambar.
Oh.
It's like a vegetable stew. It's the easiest way to describe it. But everything is spicy.
It's just hot.
South Indian food is spicier than North Indian food. I believe so.
Okay.
Just because the majority of South Indians are vegetarian.
Okay.
So I think they use a lot more spices. Not to say North Indian food isn't spicy. I mean, when you go into an Indian restaurant and you're like, I want it Indian spicy, they'll make it lava spicy, which I love.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm into.
That just sounds horrific to me.
Oh no, it's the great. Like, I'm thinking about it right now and I'm salivating and I'm sweating at the same time. No, but I love all food. So now I do.
As of this moment.
Yeah, I used to run across the street to my neighbor's house who were great cooks and they made great Italian food. And I'd be like, I'm going to their house for dinner. And basically eat 2 tons of pasta.
Right.
And not gain a single pound.
Is like Italian food big in India?
You know, I know they have Pizza Hut, but I mean, I don't know.
Because I had a friend that
I've heard Pizza Hut's gotten better.
Someone I was in grad school with who was from India, who was from South India, like Kerala?
Kerala.
Kerala?
Yeah, so that's a city next to, it's a coastal city near to where my parents
Okay, because she was like, I love Italian food. And I never pictured that there would, like, people were going to Olive Garden in India.
There probably are restaurants. Okay. I have never been to one. I've never been to one, but I've also heard that KFC is really good in India and in China.
It's amazing in China. I've had it in China.
My best friend's had KFC in China. Yeah. He says it's the best KFC he's ever had in his life.
I went to a 5-story KFC. It was in like a brownstone type building, 5-floor. We bought a pound of mashed potatoes and just ate the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Five floors.
Dude, after 3 weeks of eating nothing but dog, you're like, I'll take it.
You know what's really good in India is Chinese food.
Okay.
Because there's a specific type of cuisine there where they do Chinese Indian fusion.
Okay. I can see.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I'll try anything once.
If you like Chinese food?
Yeah.
I do.
And you like Indian food?
I do.
Then there's a couple places in New York City that do that. But I don't know if there's any places here in L.A. that do the Indo-Chinese
fusion. Gotta go to New York.
Yeah. We should get on a plane right now.
Let's go.
All right.
Now, I thought we were going to talk a lot about Stitchers, but this has been more about my life than anything.
We like to keep it well-rounded here.
Yeah, this is great.
At somewhat midday call time.
We talked about your acting and how that came up. And
It was pretty good. We did the gamut.
We did the full round.
I'm having a good time.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
I
got to know you a little more.
That's the end. Know? I was like, I'm having a good time, and he's like, it's over. Get out.
Well,
I mean,
you don't have to get out. You just can't stay here. You know,
I can't sleep on the couch. I thought that was the deal.
You can sleep on the treadmill.
Yeah.
As long as it's on.
The cats will sleep on the couch.
I'll wake you up at 6.
Yeah. Hope you like watching the news.
Yeah.
I have jury duty.
I'm sorry that I
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Tesh has jury duty.
I have jury duty, so I don't know.
Have you done it before?
No, never. Never.
It's an interesting process.
Am I going to get called in every day?
No, you call every day.
Well, so I called and I have to go
in.
You
have to go on.
But tomorrow's the first day.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go in if you might have to sit there all day.
Yeah.
But if they call you into a courtroom, they'll go through the whole gambit of like where you're from, what your occupation is.
So I can say I'm an unemployed actor.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is technically true.
Yeah.
Since we're on hiatus.
Yeah. And then basically they just ask you questions about your values and your beliefs. And
then that's where it gets.
Yeah. That's how you get out of it, by the way.
And do you lie or do you just be honest?
It depends. It depends.
Did you really lie?
Are you truly American? I mean, are you an American?
That's the questions they ask you?
No, no.
Oh.
I told them.
Are you truly American?
I told them I was afraid of gang retaliation. Yeah. And that I believe everything that every cop has ever told me. And they were like, thank you for your service. Yeah. You're free to go.
Wait.
Yeah.
This is too much.
The question I had was, This was like really deep. They were just like, so let's say that there's a man.
Oh my God. They gave you the scenario. Case.
Oh yeah. Like flat out. They're like, if there's this man that decided to sell drugs to support his family, would you condone that? And I said, is that the only form of employment he can have? And they said, yes. And I said, yeah, sure. And I got let go. So
they probably had Pablo Escobar on trial. Yeah. JJ just set him free.
Yep. There you go. So
good going.
My buddy, he was like, oh, all they asked me was, are you free during these dates? And he just went, nope. And they're like, thank you. And he left.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Lucky.
Wow.
Well, it was an interesting experience. I would try it again. I would do it again if I had the time.
I would. So would I. Yeah. I was starting a job.
I just don't want to get, because it's like a week of my. I mean, I guess it could be a public duty. Like,
it could 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, that's if I'm on a murder trial. But then they pay for that, and then I'd have to get out of it for.
Then
work.
You get to stay in a hotel.
Because
$10 a day,
dude. Nice. No, we're gonna get the back 10. I can't do a murder trial. It'd be like that Pauly Shore movie.
Which one? Remember?
Jury duty.
Yeah, that's
where
right.
Where he like keeps voting no on the unanimous decision because he's just like wants to keep working his way up the cases.
I think that was actually a true story based on Pauly Shore's life. I don't know.
Oh boy,
I can't believe I just. That's a movie that I think
that's amazing.
That was on HBO over and over again when I was like six years old.
That's all his movies. That Biodome.
Son-in-Law.
I've never seen Son-in-Law.
Son-in-Law is my favorite one.
You're in for a treat.
How did he
push? And In the Army Now? It's all of them. It's just like
What happened to him?
He hangs out with his mom, I guess, at the comedy store.
Pauly Shore.
Yeah. He does stuff. I don't know what, but
he was on the Nerdist a couple. I don't know, not long ago.
We remember his name, and that's what's important.
That's right.
His legacy lives on.
That's right.
Yeah,
Pauly.
A beautiful moment.
Oh,
Pauly on a cracker.
Before we go,
yes.
Do you have any advice that you're dying to tell people about how to be an actor? If someone is out there wanting to be an actor,
yeah. You know, I my experience is unique, I feel, in comparison that there's not a lot of people in the industry like me, meaning being first generation, my parents immigrated from India, they're both doctors, my dad's one of eight, the majority of my aunts and uncles are doctors, so like almost all of them are, so I have more than 10 doctors just on my dad's side.
Jeez. All specialties? Are they general practitioners? Wow.
No, I think every single one specialized.
That's amazing.
In something. My mom's a radiologist. My dad's a hand surgeon. And we've got the whole gamut, just the spread from A to Z. They could run a hospital if they decided to open up a family run hospital. They could do it, literally.
So does your dad come home from work and he's like, I did one hell of a hand job today.
Sorry. You know, I've never thought of that joke once. That's a good joke.
I hate myself.
That's a great
so
joke.
So much.
you ruined my serious train of thought. Sorry.
I couldn't keep it in. I was like, do I say this? No.
Just do it.
And then I heard it happening before I could stop it.
Well.
All right, sorry.
There's a time and place for everything.
That's right.
That definitely wasn't the time or the place. But that's probably what made it funnier.
I guess.
You know, kind of being an Indian in Hollywood and obviously I think now more than ever, Indian people are kind of getting recognition in bigger places.
Right.
You know, with Mindy and Aziz and Priyanka Chopra is exploding now. You know, but she was a massive Bollywood star. She's the first one to kind of cross over into America.
Right.
And just getting more opportunities to work and play characters that aren't stereotypes. Not the taxi driver, not the doctor, not the terrorist, you know, which I believe is important because I think it's our duty to kind of educate America. And, you know, just because I'm Indian doesn't mean I'm a nerd, doesn't mean I have no friends, doesn't mean I'm socially awkward. You know, it's... you know, I'm an Indian guy from New York who loves to dance and, you know, play video games and loves basketball and, love my friends, love my family. And it really kind of boils down to whatever your passion is, whatever your dream is, you got to fight for it. You have to work hard and you have to prepare and train, you know, and whatever that means to you. You know, I went to school specifically with acting. You know, there's so many different avenues and schools of thought on how you can end up where you're at. You know, some people just boom, they go in, they book it, and that's it, and that's the end. Right. And that's their life. That's what they did. They kind of fell into the lap. That doesn't happen for, you know, 99% of the people. And if it doesn't, you know, why not try your hardest at something? You know, and kind of the Asian mentality is like, you know, if you're not a lawyer, if you're not a doctor, you're not an engineer, you're not smart, you're not successful, you're not accomplished. That's not true anymore. That's not true anymore, you know, and my family was always super supportive of my career path, but they would also be the first person to tell me, don't do this because you suck. You know, so
right,
it's like,
right. Well, that's part of the family.
And that's part of family, you know, it's a tough love and being honest with each other. But being an actor and kind of having this unique lens, you know, I'll never know if I'll get the opportunity to play a leading man. I'll never know if I'll get the opportunity to play a superhero. You know, it's like, I don't know. I just saw Deadpool. There's one Indian guy in the movie and he's hilarious.
He's a stereotype.
But he's a stereotype, you know, and that's fine. You know, it's a great movie. That's a great role for him. Mm-hmm. And, but it's just like, you know, Aziz does it in his show. It's like they ask him to do the accent. He doesn't want to do it.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, what stops us from being the two guys that just grew up across the street from each other that happened to be white and Indian or, you know, black and Chinese or, you know, Mexican and white. It doesn't matter anymore. It shouldn't matter.
Right.
And we have to work as hard as we can, I think, to educate audiences and our peers. And I think it's slowly turning for the better.
Yeah.
You know, there's more opportunities for everybody across the board, in front of the camera and, you know, behind the camera. And ultimately, you just got to keep chasing your dream, no matter what. Don't listen when people tell you can't do it. Don't listen when there's nobody in the industry. You know, when I was in college, there was nobody. And it's not a long time ago. I graduated college in 2011. There wasn't many Indians, you know, not playing the stereotypical Indian on television. Now almost every show has an Indian person, or at least they're trying to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or at least they're trying to break that mold, and I think it's great. And the more people there are, you know, the more they'll have to pull from us. The better people are, the more opportunities we're going to create for each other. And that goes across the board for everybody, you know? And it's just, it really is a small kind of tight-knit community once you're in it. And you just can't stop chasing your dream. That's what it is. If you're okay with struggling and really kind of living paycheck to paycheck and dealing with the inconsistencies of being an actor, but you love what you do, that stuff won't bother you. And I know that sounds insane and crazy, but it won't bother you because you're focused on something else. You're focused on a bigger picture. And it's not like, you know, I know people who act or, you know, dance or model because their sole goal is to become famous, which I know is like a thing now, you know, and like obviously social media has turned everything upside down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with just kind of being insta-famous and all this stuff. And
that's famous for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, you're famous for the wrong reasons. But the thing is, you know, it's another avenue to explore your work or to reach an audience of people that you never would reach before. And whatever you do, whatever it is, you just got to love it. Love what you do. So
that's good advice.
That's my advice.
Yeah.
Without getting too philosophical.
No. I think that seems to be, I mean, we've interviewed a number of people and it seems like that's another common theme is just love what you do and
Yeah.
You know, the money will come if it comes, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. But you still like what you do.
Yeah, I mean, if I played the numbers game, you know, when I graduated from college, guy being a regular dude on a TV show, it's not going to happen. There'll be like one or two of you.
Right.
Ever.
Right. It's rare.
Now there's probably one on every single network.
Like, yeah.
Literally. So
I'm thinking about that.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's so many TV shows, new shows that are coming out, not just on broadcast television, but Netflix, Amazon,
Hulu, you know, they're changing the game. And TV is getting better.
Yeah.
You know, the quality of TV has gotten a lot better. You know, before it just used to be HBO and Showtime. And now, you know, these online providers are changing the game. And, you know, YouTube is changing the game. And networks are having to have to keep up with that. And it's all, you know, competition.
Yep.
I think it promotes quality. So, so that's the goal. So, you know, let's see what happens after this. Hopefully no one blacklists me after this. They're like, wow, he's got really
interesting views.
No. You know, I really do believe that you just got to keep at it.
Yeah.
You know, find that piece of you that is hungry. And because, you know, even when I was a Zumba instructor, I loved what I was doing. And it was great to help people and stay active. And I love dancing. But there was a part of me that was like, okay, the Zumba version of myself is now getting really, really big. And the acting version of me is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And part of being an actor is doing things to make a living that has nothing to do with acting. So it's like, if I'm going to work in a restaurant or be a bartender or, you know, be like a personal trainer or stuff like that, which are jobs a lot of actors hold. And it's keeping that flame alive while trying to survive. That's the hardest thing, is balancing those two. And honestly, that's harder than anything else. Because once you're acting and you're doing it, it's a vacation. Like, I'm honestly blessed and I love what I do. And that's my advice. Just keep the flame alive.
Keep it burning.
All right. Well, we've went through the whole, you know, following us on Twitter and all that, but
we didn't go through ours.
Yeah,
I know that you're on Twitter
at JJ Geiger 7-Eleven, and you are also on Twitter.
I'm at The Real Zuber,
and Nadav is on there as well.
He's on there. He's not here right now.
Right,
but when he is here, he's always on Twitter.
Wait, there's a third person.
Yeah,
there is, usually
he was here this morning.
Oh gosh,
that would have just blown your mind. Just four people. Just
that's talking. Why there's an empty chair. That's
He's at Very Nadav Show,
and we're at Early Call Time.
Yeah.
You can email us at earlycalltime@gmail.com.
Give us a call.
267-225-CHAT. 267-225-2428.
Yeah. Wait, you guys text us.
You guys have a landline for this place?
Well, you can. It's a Google number. Oh my god. So you can text us and you can leave a voicemail.
Very smart. Look at that.
Yeah. So you can ask a question and we'll play it right on the air. And
that's a Philadelphia number?
It is.
Yeah. Technology, man. That's incredible.
Yeah.
It was the only one that I could get for 2428 because we wanted chat.
Got it.
As the name. Yeah, so, you know, it worked out well. So
yeah.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
but without further ado,
listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.